Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Well, hello, wherever you are in the world. I am Cynthia Rose McCaw, the show host, and I am so excited to talk to you today. Just to mention, if you want to connect with me, Brendan is monitoring Facebook under Cynthia Rose Medium Group. If you have need for any questions that should arise, you can also find out about me at CynthiaRoseMedium.com. Also check out soulstudioden.com, which is we just have one page there so far, but it is for our center, and a little bit about what's going on there. Also, I'm on Facebook, Cynthia Rose Medium. I have a new YouTube channel, Cynthia Rose Medium. I think I'm on Twitter too. I just don't do it enough, but I'm really excited to talk to you about a topic. Sensitive children, adult empaths, and some common threads. Do you know, people talk about indigo children or crystal children or things like that. My, how we love to put people in boxes, don't we? We like to say they're like this or like this. And I remember hearing about some of the indigo children, someone talking, and I thought, well, I was like that when I was a kid, but maybe one thing didn't fit, but a lot of it did. I don't know. What was the name for when I was a kid? Who cares? I mean, don't put me in a box, but I am going to share with you today some of the experiences that I had, and where I am today is a very comfortable place, ever-evolving place. It wasn't always the case. I was one of those sensitive kids that was not entirely comfortable with all things, some things. But first, I wanted to share with you some pros. And a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts." Isn't that interesting? "For they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit even in your dreams." I might beg to differ on that one a little, but I understand the point. "You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday." That is from The Prophet by Cahil Gibran. It's a beautiful little book that I found as a teenager. And some of those things rang true for me. This is just one part where he talks on children. He speaks on many things. And he was a very wise man. He said a lot of wise things. And as a mother, I somehow understood this as a child, as a young teen reading this, it made sense to me. And I kept it close to my heart, and I think it has served me well. Do you know, your children are not your children. You know, that's a bold statement. If it upsets you, then there may be something in that for you to look at. I do hope some of what I say today helps you in some way, whether you have a young one who is sensitive or you yourself were young, sensitive, who is now an adult. So the idea that a child is not our child, it's not that we have a blood connection, we have a soul connection with them, but we don't own them, right? And if we're upset I've actually heard someone get upset about this very thing, but that was indicative of not feeling like she had enough of a connection with her loved one, with her child. And there was circumstances around that. You know, many a child is rebelled against feeling any type of ownership when a well-meaning parent has just tried to love them. And that can go on when we have a sensitive, when we come into this world already having an awareness of maybe unconditional love or memory of, or having that, we brought some memory with us. And another thing is because they are the future. They are going to end up, should we be with them here, or well, I believe in spirit too. Sometimes children become the teachers of their parents after a while. And that's really beautiful to see if we can be children with our parents and then our parents learn from us. But we don't own each other. Love does not own. And why am I saying this? Because I think some of that is in there. You know, striving to be like them, but make them not like you. They have some information we don't have. Because their souls are housed in tomorrow. And while we might be able to visit them in their dreams when we're gone, or vice versa, they are tomorrow. The children are our future, which, that makes me think of the George Benson song, I Believe the Children Are the Future. I used to sing that to my son every night. And he would say, Mummy, Mummy, sing the future song. Sing the children's song. He loved it. And it really speaks to me about this. So as we work with them, we have to honor that their experience is their experience. In astrology, you know, every Pluto, the planet Pluto, it births generations because it takes like something like 248 years to go around all the zodiac signs. So, you know, we're roughly 19 or 20 years. That's a generation. And so the ones that were born 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they have different agendas, different collective agendas. And they may be trying to get back to that in this world they are born into. They have something to do. So I know there are a lot from my generation that are meant to be of service. That service is part of it. And I believe we're all meant to be of service, and how we do that is important. So if we can love unconditionally and give some space between ourselves and our child, then that can be really helpful if we have a young sensitive, because they may not see things the way you see them. And we don't need to make them right or wrong, but I think keeping an open ear is important. You know, I mean, just an example of how the future, right now, if you take a 5-year-old and put that child at a computer, they're going to be more comfortable than the 60-year-olds or many 60-year-olds. Not necessarily, but wait 20 years. And those 25-year-olds will be miles ahead of those 60-year-olds. It's just the way the collective works. And often, you know, a sensitive child may have a sensitive parent that has not explored their own soul to the extent that the child is needing to explore. And of course, the opposite could be true as well. And they may become a leader at some point for us. So what do we do when we have a sensitive child? Well, first of all, I cringe at the thought of children on TV being overly focused on the psychic gifts. Why? Because part of our development in our soul is being able to know the difference of grounded into everyday life, feeling part of it. And this can be the opposite of what a sensitive child feels. You know, they're aware that they're different in some way. We don't need to make them more different. We need to honor their difference without creating a sense of separation between them and their living world. I really think this can be a wound or harmful if they feel like somehow they are separate from everyone else. Now, I was one of those children. I grew up to be one of those adults. And I was very aware of spirit from a young age. I was very aware of, I knew when somebody was lying. I was very aware of things. And sometimes my mother, who was a reader, would say, "How do you know that? How can you say that?" Well, that was when I was, you know, 3 and 4, and I would say things. She would say, "Where did you get that from?" Well, I knew immediately that I was seeing and saying things that were not part of her world. And right away, a little part of me said, "Oh, she's not comfortable with the way I'm seeing this." That can easily happen in generational differences. So some people say that the veil is thinning, and it's true, although for me it's always been thin. I think there's more people aware of the veil, is how I would say. So if you have a child who is having difficulty with that, the first thing I want to say is listen. Now, when I was a little girl and I felt my grandfather with me, I heard his voice, it was no problem. He was protective. I knew he loved me. But see, I don't remember him approaching me. I just remember him always being with me. And we were Catholic. So if someone else approached me, I was aware that I wasn't supposed to talk to them. I was okay to talk to him. Isn't that funny? But that's the truth of it. And so I can remember seeing a lady as a young girl. I was about 3, and I can remember seeing her and being a little freaked out by that. But seeing a spirit bear didn't freak me out whatsoever. And this is what you call abductive seeing, or seeing outside of yourself instead of your mind's eye. I didn't like it so much. So for a long time, that went away. Now the objective seeing kind of creeps in for me, but it's usually more subjective. So how do I deal with that? I would feel people around me, and I would wake up or not go to sleep. And I would say, "Mom, there's somebody in my room," and, "Mom, I'm feeling them." And, you know, my mom, meaning well, would say, "Don't worry about it and go to sleep." And bless her, love her, she was a great mom. It was difficult to not have anyone deal with that with me and say, "Well, what are they saying, or what's going on?" Or, and so because of some of the religious or overtone of the collective of the time, I was not understanding what I was supposed to do with it, and I became afraid. it wasn't until I went through many experiences where I was afraid until I realized that it was okay. So, and I'm talking here more about spirit awareness, but you could also have a child, and I will get into this more after the break, but I also have a child who's naturally psychic to things. But I want to say the first thing we've got to do if we have a child who has these abilities or awarenesses, we want to allow them to be children. And I love that my mom let me be a child and didn't say, oh, okay, well, let's develop this, let's do this. Because we have to be our human life here. We can create wounds if we can't ground into our life here. You know, for many, exercise or physical activity helps them ground. I wasn't so athletic as a child, but I found swimming. And that was very, sort of grounding because you're floating in the water. But exercise was something that was maybe not natural to me or something, although I think it was very good for me. And sometimes that can be some resistance to grounding here in life. Maybe they've got some past life memories that they don't differentiate between here and there. They just don't know why. They've got this discomfort. And a soul like that is already bringing a clear agenda of something they want to work on. So the worst thing we want to do is block it or negate it. But day-to-day grounding can be so helpful. So I can hear that we're going to go to a break. When you come back, I will share some of the experiences, my perceptions, and how I was able to work with it. Thank you so much. We'll see you in a moment.
Your Conscious Lifestyle on Steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. So, in helping a sensitive child. So, I want to say that sometimes we think we're helping them, and we have to remember we can only do the best we can with sharing our experiences, what we know. But see, then there's that thing about giving them our thoughts. We honoring an experience of what's going on is really important. And yet no one exists alone. I'm a product of all the beautiful souls that have crossed my path. In that alone, we are connected. You are a part of me. I'm a part of you. I'm eternally grateful to, there's two people that really helped me during this time. Right around the time that I'd been having some really strong experiences for, I would say, 8 years, and I just wasn't sure what to do. A mentor of mine had said, when you're aware of someone, then just put yourself in a white bubble of light. Just surround yourself in an egg-shaped white bubble of light. That worked to a point. It did work. But there still was a lot of fear in me, which I didn't recognize as being my fear. I just felt afraid. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I'm eternally grateful to an old man who taught me how to do healings and gave me no dogma with it. And I was part of an old spirit circle, and I don't know. I just ended up there. I didn't even know what it was. I just trusted. I went by, this feels right. And after sitting in the circle and feeling the presence of someone trying to communicate, I got very scared and I hadn't said anything. Somebody else was aware that this had happened to me. So that opened the door. And afterwards, and it just so happened it was Halloween night. So, woo, Hollywood. So I had already in my mind, now remember The Exorcist had come out a few years before, so Hollywood had gotten into my head. I had been rejected from a friend's mother because they pulled me into the house to do the Ouija board, so it'll work with her. We sat down and I got in trouble, or the mother called my mother and was upset that I had got her girls to do it. It wasn't even my board. It was their board, but somehow it became all my fault. I was very aware I was different. I was very aware that people didn't approve of it. And even years later, some of that same group would say, oh yeah, well, your family's different, which was very hurtful for me. So I wanted so much to blend in. And so I come to this, I'm having this experience of someone trying to talk to me. And the first thing I did was get afraid because I didn't know my own soul, my own power. So I didn't know what to do with it. And essentially, this is a calling to know our own soul, to know our own spirit, our own spiritual connection at some level. So here I am, I'm afraid, and all these old people are laughing because I thought that there was, what was he going to try and do to me? I mean, it wasn't really a big one for swearing all the time, and I'd watch my P's and Q's around older people, but in my head I can tell you I was swearing to go away. Swearing, I won't say it on air, but I was not nice. Leave me alone. So, and of course, away he had gone. And I felt calmer. But I was like visibly shook, like I had felt them wake me up. I felt the presence. I could tell you a story about having, you know, things happen in the house. So other friends were a little freaked out by it. I didn't know what to do with it. And Mom wouldn't talk about it much. She didn't like that part of reading. So she had that in her, even though she had the same fear, I want to say. That's what I'm trying to say. My mom was comfortable with angels. She wasn't so comfortable with others. She didn't understand it. She's a product of her generation, too. She didn't have that type of support. So here I am wondering what to do. The old man takes me aside and he sits me in a chair, and his shaky hand went up my spine. The most incredible energy poured into my auric field, calmed me, energized me. Now it's about 10 o'clock at night, I think, 9:30, 10 o'clock, by the time I'm leaving, because it was like a 7 to 9 thing. And I'm filled with energy, like so much energy that I wasn't sure what to do with it all. And I don't think I slept, because I was so, it was like I had just woken up. It was beautiful. And so when I went back the next week, and he kept saying, it's okay, dear, there's nothing to be afraid of. So when I went back next week, he said, do you want to learn that? He didn't say, here's the rules, here's what it is. He just taught it to me. And it was very comforting to me. And I started playing with it. I started offering it to friends. I had different ways of bringing it about. Friends would come over and say, oh, when I got here, I had a headache and I feel better. Or, gee, my stomach ache is gone. And I would just kind of smile to myself and think, oh, good, it worked. So I was learning to play with that. The reason I bring that up is because a child who is a sensitive, I know from being a sensitive, needs to know their own healing power, needs to, as a safe way to find their way, is to know that. But a child, you know, before the age of 12, they may, and I'm ballparking, nothing is exact, may naturally be ungrounded. If you watch little kids, they can be ungrounded in a second. It's natural. And then as they get into, I think probably around the, you know, somewhere around 9 or 10, we start moving into a sense of the heaviness or reality of the world. And I think that's whenever that starts happening, then we need some way of coping with it. For me, I was around 9 when I started feeling this sense of maybe fantasy leaving and the reality. So the reality of somebody being with me was still there. I couldn't say it was fantasy. So I had it on two sides of me, if that makes any sense. So I found myself nervous, afraid to say anything. I knew I couldn't say anything at school. What do I say? And I really, it wasn't until my teen years that I was able to get some training. And one of the most important things was, one, learning about this healing. Two, my mom let me be a child and didn't push me to develop. I'll say more about that in a minute. And three, I had somebody who I was able to call and say, I feel them around me right now. What do I do? And because I didn't hold my own presence and my own power and was so shy and not within my own power, I had somebody in my life encouraging me to do that. And if you have a sensitive child that way, then you might have to be that person for them to find some way of helping them find their power. You know, one of the things that can be very useful and playful is a creative type of meditation with them. If they're younger, they may just fall in love with turtles, or they may just fall in love with a particular animal. That actually grounds them into this life, because that is a physical being on this side of life. And that may be very helpful. You know, it's every child is unique and individual, so it's just a suggestion. You know, for me, I spent a couple of years really loving the bear. I wanted to be the bear, having that spirit bear connection. I felt safe with the bear. It's what brings them to safety. But I really think that there may be memories there of a past life. They may not be able to articulate that. And you know what? They don't really have to either, because if they have some way of releasing the energy out of their space, then they are going to cope better. Because having psychic energy or this energy that is trying to find a way to direct itself, if it builds up within us, there can be an anxiety where we don't know what to do with it. Because energy is never meant to be blocked. Energy is meant to flow. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It flows. So sometimes we have that sense of connection, our mind shuts it down, and then all of a sudden we are anxious. And anxious is a sense that we have maybe lost our space, that we don't feel in charge of our auric field, that we feel disempowered. Because I know that from the place of, and when I say the power, I'm not talking ego, I'm not talking a power like control. I'm talking about our true power. When we're in that state of being, we don't have fear. There is no fear. I never connect with somebody on the other side through fear. It's not possible. But it is possible as a young child, and I have done this, to feel a connection, and the mind quickly paints a Hollywood picture of it all. Some things will trigger this. If there is a lot of paranormal interest by the parent, then even if your child isn't seeing it, you're sharing your energy with that child. If you have fear about something with this, they're aware of it. It's really common. You know, when my son was little, if I was upset, and I went through some, you know, difficult time of losing my mom. If I was upset and tears were built up in me, but I was holding that, do you know, my son would cry for no reason, it seemed. And once I figured that out, he was much happier. Because there is a natural flow of energy between a mother and a child. It's just, quote, normal. I mean, that you bring this child, it comes from you, and you're nurturing it into grounding into this life. There is a natural connection. That connection is there in the womb. And I do believe if we have an adoptive child, there is some agreement to have that. I don't think they have to be born from you to have that. I've seen adoptive parents say they just feel so much like my own. So there is some type of a spiritual agreement to have energy shared. And I've talked in previous shows about how I used to cry as a baby in an experience with my mother. So it's naturally true. And my father would be aware when I got in the car to go out with them somewhere, he'd say he could feel immediately what was going on with me, which I really didn't like that then, because I really wanted to keep everything in. And, I was shy, I was withdrawn, but life was encouraging me to do the other way. And I was very much for healing and being the best I could be. So if you have a child that is having a difficult time with this, what they really are looking for is knowing their own strength, knowing their own power, not control, power, their spiritual power, knowing that connection. They are essentially saying, I need to honor my knowingness. I need to find the path of my knowingness. And that path of knowingness is never in fear, and it's never in a place of some judgment. But I've had many experiences where I was sure that whoever was trying to talk to me was not good. Oh no. But it's such a subtle thing, that way our minds, just like when somebody is learning mediumship, they can make a connection with that loved one. And then all of a sudden they've taken over and their mind has created a story about them. And meanwhile, that spirit is sitting there going, hello, I was here to talk to you. And then they feel an empty space because they stop listening. It's kind of like that. Child feels a presence or a knowing about something, and then the dramatic thoughts come out. You know, Hollywood, I'm sure it's in video games. I've never seen anybody come through in a scary way when I've done mediumship messages. Nothing has, I connect from a place of love. And I, you know, I've had people say to me, oh, well, you're connecting from a higher place. You know, I don't think that's true. I think I'm just connecting. If we're out of our mind, if we have no judgment, if we're just seeing clearly, like that's red, that's blue. I have no opinion about red or blue. I can just see that it's red and blue. I know I'm in the zone. But if I have any sort of judgment about something, there's got to be a disconnection happening, because there is a raised vibration when I connect with the spirit world. There's many reasons why these stories come to light, and it can be the buildup. They need an outlet. Some sensitive children may need a creative outlet, but maybe, like in my case, I was really good at math, but I needed that creative outlet more than I needed the math. So I was, you know, honor rolled in math, and you know, everybody said, oh, she's probably going to be an accountant. Not, it was just something that I was able to do, and it was one part of my brain. But, you know, I remember working with plaster and making a, it was like a lake with rocks around it and painting it. That was more grounding for me than any math. Here we're going for our last break. So grab yourself a glass of water, and when we come back, we'll finish talking about empaths and sensitives.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
All right, so we're talking about young sensitives and older empaths. So, you know, I've had people ask me in classes. I teach a type of energy work to help people. I think they're mediumship essentials, healer essentials. But one of the things people have asked me is they say, well, I've used many different ways of maybe protecting their energy, and they still can't figure it out, and they still feel like it comes through. And if that's you, that's what it was for me. I did many things and, you know, just didn't seem to work. And I think that is because there's a certain path of knowingness that we are trying to establish within ourselves. And that maybe the higher self does not want to have things outside of themselves. They can be useful, but they are stops along the way, if you will. So we might have something that works for a while, and then it doesn't work again. And then we're on to something else that works, and then not again, because we're on this path of knowingness. And the reason that I'm comfortable with my empathic abilities is that I've found a balance between my rock solid knowingness and remaining open. Do you know, I think that it's my favorite thing to teach because it empowers the individual on their own journey of growth. And I ask you, why are so many reaching out for someone else to give them answers when all the answers lay buried within them and they just need help to access them? You know, and that being said, I have great respect for traditions. And I believe that as a collective, we are meant to take what we learn and move forward and evolve. And that is the generation that so many are feeling a certain different awareness. They are meant to learn and evolve so we can share our experiences with them, but not limit their thinking process. And I think there needs to be a balance of knowing one's gifts and honoring them. And the thing about intuitive abilities or psychic or spiritual is that not everybody uses them to be a reader because it's not everybody's path. Thank goodness for that. Do you know, I used to go and get my hair done from a lady, and she would say, "Oh, I wish I had your abilities." And I would look at her stunned and say, "But you do." And she said, "What do you mean?" I would say it to her, "You do." Finally, she said, she was always doing me and another person, very, very busy. And I said, I think I've been going to her for a couple of years. And I watched her, been around her a lot. And I said to her, "Do you know, your gift manifests that someone sits in your chair and you just know what will suit them." And she kind of leaned in a little closer and said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, you see people in their best light, what suits them the best." I said, "How often do people come to you and they're unhappy with their hair?" And she said, "Well, it doesn't really happen to me." He said, "That's because you're using your intuitive abilities as you do their hair. And I see you one day doing their hair, their makeup, their clothes, like helping people with how they look because you see people." Well, a couple years down the road, that's exactly what she was doing. She was giving people whatever kind of image business she was doing. Now, if she was not seeing them the way they are and trying to impose an image on them, then they would be uncomfortable with that unless she was seeing something they already wanted. And, you know, every time I went to see her, she would give me something that suited me. And I remember one time I thought, "Oh, I feel like attention is going to get to me with this cut." And you know, it was a time in my life when I needed to work on my shyness. So I thought, okay, well, it's something for me to work on my self-consciousness with this. And so there, I want to say, with hairdressing, hairdressers are day makers, but a good hairstylist actually sees the best of you. And they may see you in the past and give you a haircut of the past that's somewhat comfortable for you for a reason, or they may see something that suits you now, knowing that you need to go. A good hairstylist has a vision that works with you. That is intuition working wonderfully. I know of medical professionals, doctors, nurses, other parts of medical profession that have used their intuitive sense to get, they just have a knowing to maybe look for some type of disease that existed in the family, or they just know it was there. They may not, the person might say, well, I'm adopted, I don't know anything. And they could be connecting with the spirit world saying, I think it's this, and they get the correct diagnosis. That's not on their business card. That's not in their office. They are using their abilities to serve in a different way. And that can be, you know, all the way to, I can remember being a young waitress and having a young couple come in, and I chilled their glasses and I made everything very special for them. And another of the wait people said to me, well, why are you spending so much time on them? Because you know they're not going to tip you. You know, I felt someone telling me to make it extra special, and I just listened. I just went, okay. So I went out of my way to do all these little extra special things. And at the end of the dinner, the lady was almost in tears, and she said, this was our engagement dinner, and we don't have money to tip you. We're very, very tight. But I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart because you've helped us create a memory for the rest of our life. And of course, that just touched my heart so deeply. And I listened. Yes, I was laughed at for spending all that time, but it was the right thing to do. It was what I felt in my heart that was supposed to do. I was using my intuition. And funny enough, they returned 2 months later. I think it was more like 2 months later. Wouldn't have anyone wait on them but me. And they had like, you know, 20 people with them. And so the owner said, well, we'll put you in this lounge area and we'll help you carry everything out because they're going to leave if you don't, they don't get you. They came in, ordered a meal. They didn't even finish all their meal. It was like a quick meal after a baseball game or something. And they brought the whole team, left me, you know, $100 tip or some ridiculous amount of money for really no work. And that wasn't what my gift was. My gift was giving to them. But then I was waving this at somebody saying, look at that. So it always comes back to us in some way. And I'm not saying we're always, it's not tit for tat. What I'm saying is that we have to trust that our intuition will go where it needs to go. And so whatever a person does, they may use that. Your child might be an intuitive who ends up inventing something because they have access to that part of their mind. And how brilliant that would be to have new inventions coming. Because if you think about Einstein, that's what he was doing. If you think about Alexander Graham Bell, you know, what is it, 300 tries to create a light bulb? And then he had a dream and woke up, went into the room, and poof, he made it happen. He accessed that part of himself. Yes, you could say he also tried 300 times. He was out of ideas. He was almost ready to give up. And then he figured it out. There's just so many ways that this can be used. I couldn't possibly, I'd have to spend the next hour thinking of all the different ways and probably ways I haven't thought of yet. So just to recap a little, having a good way of grounding, you know, I've always been drawn to the earth. Walking has always been good for me, grounding into the earth. Connecting with trees was important to me as a little girl. Connecting with animals was important as a little girl. However it is that your young one needs to connect, in feel part of this earth and realize that every soul has a natural evolvement if we just allow it to happen. But we don't need to tell them, this is, you need to push it and you need to do it. I think the worst thing we can do is push another. Because even when I see mediums developing, readers developing, intuitives, the minute they start getting anxious, I've got to get it all right, I've got to know it right now, they are going to distort their connection. They're going to push themselves off course. Because everything happens in perfect time when it's happening. There is no need to push. And I hope that has been helpful for you today. If you do have a child that is struggling and you need some help, please reach out to Brendan if we can help you in any way. If you're not where we are in Denver, then, you know, we might know somebody in your area. And I guess I should mention, I will be in Denver doing 3 events at the Body, Mind, Spirit Fair, September 7 to 9. I have a Friday night spirit messages, and Saturday and Sunday as well. I'll be with another medium there, Kim Moore. So we'll be doing that on Saturday and Sunday. I'll be speaking about intuitive astrology, and I will be talking about healing. And I will also be talking about, I think there's a section there where I talk about if you're wishing to study with me or learn with me, I'll answer questions and talk about that. So if you have a young one, let me just say, if you are an older empath, then let me just say that studying healing can be very helpful, because there may be things that have built up that need to let go and heal. Because when we get older and we haven't dealt with something, maybe the pain of what we see going on in the universe, what we see going on in the world, can really get us down. And we can be fighting to try and keep our heart open. That's another thing I think young sensitive may be aware of, and older sensitives too. There's a thread between them. When another's heart is closed or pain, but how do we keep our hearts open when others' hearts are closed? That is the challenge. And I think as we get older, you know, we become aware of more things in the world. If we don't have a way of doing this, then we need discipline for that. I've had many of people share with me how they felt things their whole life, but they don't know what to do with that energy that they're feeling. And if this is you, then I encourage you, wherever you are, to learn and study. I do have online courses. I do have in-person courses. I will be coming to different areas of the country. They're just not all up on the website at present, but they are scheduled. So I do hope to meet you in person. And if you listen to the show, please, if you're listening, leave a comment. I think iTunes, YouTube, the replay on the Om Times. I would love it if you'd leave me a comment, or love to hear from you. I hope this has been helpful for you or your younger one. And sometimes we just can't know what another is going through, but we can support them through it. And an empathic individual can get easily irritated or frustrated or angry, and we need ways to cope with that. For me, when I was younger and I felt that way, it was me not realizing what was going on in my space. I'd feel somebody else's pain, but there is so, I could do a whole other show on that. So please connect with me on Facebook, on the website. I'd love to see you online in a class. And if you have a child who's seeing or sensing the spirit world, it's best to deal with it and not bury it. But listen to them, but remind them that they are always in charge. When children are afraid, they think they're not in charge. They are always senior to that. I was always told, you have a body, you're in charge. But I still had to learn that, even though people said that to me. So I just want to say, because I was often ungrounded, I needed to ground in and realize I'm in charge here. So please empower them. They are in charge. There is no need for fear. But you can't tell them, don't be afraid, because if they are, they are. All we can do is empower them. It can also be that this is their path to understand their own power, their spiritual nature, and it's for them to really know it in this life, and they want to make sure, and they've come there at some time or place in their unfoldment, that they don't want to forget that the veil is thin, and they have some way that they will use these gifts, however they do. It's been my honor to speak with you this week. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. Much love.